On the Record with Gavin Riley on News Talk.
Now, I'm going to read you a paragraph from a letter written by Michael D. Higgins inside the last week or so. And it's not often that I get to do this because you don't often get correspondence from Michael D. Higgins coming out in public. He says, as part of his consideration of bills, and I quote, I reviewed the debates of both houses. And in recent weeks, it has struck me that debates of many of these very important and far reaching legislative proposals have been curtailed through the imposition of restrictions on time in one or both of the houses. Many were not subject to pre-legislative scrutiny, and considerable portions of some bills that arrive in my desk have not been considered in detail. Amendments put down by members are often not discussed, and government amendments carried without an opportunity for scrutiny or debate. Not usually the kind of intervention that you'd ever get from the President about the way in which laws are made. We're joined on the line by the Fine Gael whip in the Shannon, Sean Kine, who's a former government chief whip himself, but first by David Kenny, who's a professor of constitutional law at Trinity College in Dublin. David, thanks for taking our call this lunchtime. This was described as an unprecedented letter during the week by the Crown Court and the Cathaoirleach. I have to say, it probably is unprecedented for the President to be so explicit about their views on how laws are made.
Yes, I can't recall any former president weighing in with an intervention of this nature, making sort of an explicit comment about the legislative process of the houses. It was done in a context that did relate closely to the president's constitutional role. So the president's core complaint in this letter was that far too many bills were landing on his desk, basically at the end of parliamentary sessions, and he was unable to give them the scrutiny that they needed, he felt. One of his most important jobs is under Article 26 of the Constitution. He has to decide if a bill should go to the Supreme Court to test its constitutionality before he signs it. And obviously, he needs time to do that. He's only given 7 days in which to make that determination. And so if, as happened in July, 19 bills arrive, that's just an overwhelming amount of work.
And that is an important point, because if there are some listeners who might be more cynically minded and just think that we all have busy periods at work and quiet periods, that this is more than just a busy period for him. This actually constrains the proper scrutiny of how laws are passed.
Yes, he has a big job if he has to look at all those bills and potentially take some legal advice on whether or not it may be worth convening the Council of State or asking the Supreme Court to ultimately take a look at one of those bills. And in commenting on that, he sort of made this other comment about the quality of the scrutiny that's going on in the Oireachtas. And that is very much unprecedented, but the president is a part of the Oireachtas. That's in our constitutional structure. That's where the president sits. And so there's an argument perhaps that the president has some entitlement to make a comment on the legislative process, but no president that I'm aware of has in the past made a comment of this sort.
Well, it struck me that, you know, even if you do accept the point that he's entitled to complain about the quality of scrutiny that he's allowed to himself, you know, interrogate bills under, and that's a fair point. But the line that I read out where he's complaining that a lot of the bills that are sent to him haven't been scrutinised by TDs or senators, and that the government is, you know, using guillotines to try and curtail the amount of time that's available for debate, that might be straying into the sort of thing where he's commenting about the procedures of the houses, but only the houses themselves are responsible for how they run. And you might consider it as being a little bit of an assault on the independence of the Dáil and Shannon and how they do their work.
Yeah, it's certainly towing the line, shall we say, of what we'd usually expect the president to do, because we do think that the president should largely stay out of that particular political arena. The reason that when I read it, I thought it was probably okay, is that it is relevant to that same question. If TDs and senators aren't getting the opportunity to fully debate and scrutinize these bills, then I think it's more likely that there could be an issue with them. If we're not getting full, proper, well-fleshed out debates, if we're not getting pre-legislative scrutiny, which was held up by recent governments as this great innovation in making sure that bills are going to be better. If we don't get that, then the president might feel that it's more likely these bills coming to him will have errors or issues or constitutional oversights that he has to catch. So the way I read it, I thought it maybe just fell within the column of acceptable comment for that reason. But I would say it was perhaps close to the line of the president intervening in politics.
Were it not ever thus, though, David, because, you know, as long as the, you know, modern politics has existed and as long as the Dáil has been organised in the calendar that it is, there is always a rush to get stuff cleared before the summer recess. There's always a rush to get stuff cleared before Christmas. So there's always going to be, you know, a certain amount of bills piling up. And it has always been the case up until new politics 5 years ago that there was fairly heavy use of the guillotine anyway, where there wasn't always full debate on everything that was put forward. So in some ways, is he not just complaining about phenomena that have existed for decades?
Arguably, yeah, the guillotine was used even more extensively in the 2000s, and perhaps there's more scope for opposition input now than at certain times in the past. So that was certainly always a phenomenon. I think there is perhaps an extreme piling up of bills going on at the moment, and the sort of legislative output of this stall really was back-ended into the July recess.
Yeah, he's pointing out that there was 19 bills passed in 3 weeks in July, including 9 that were presented to him in one day. And it's obviously very difficult to try and scrutinise every single one of them to the proper degree if you're trying to get through 9 bills all at the same time.
That's it. And a lot of these pieces of legislation were extremely complicated. Some of them, for good reason, were, you know, put together very quickly in order to sort of respond to various aspects of the pandemic and so on. And so I think it's probably, even if there always has been an element of this, this seems like a more extreme instantiation of it. And also, just because we did it in the past doesn't mean it was good practice. And if this has been the case before, probably shouldn't have been, and we should probably look for better.
Final question, David, and I appreciate that this is a slightly cerebral question, but some people might say that, you know, that the president has a certain amount of resources at his disposal. If he has a proper constitutional job to do, that it might be within his scope to get outside advice, and even that the president talks about, you know, needing to seek, you know, some sort of legal scrutiny or a bit of legal assistance to scrutinise some of the bills that he's got in front of him. So one could say that, yeah, it's regrettable that stuff, that it's a very stop-start, fitful sort of passage of stuff that gets down to him, but it's surely not beyond the wit of man for him to get a little bit of private help in to try and assess all of these things. But would that perhaps then be him outsourcing the work of president, which he can't really do either?
Yeah, so the president would be entitled to take legal advice. The problem with, again, trying to even get the resources to scrutinise 9 serious pieces of legislation within a week, and again, it is a sort of a week hard deadline for this to be done, is the legislation can be changing right up to the moment that it passes through, you know, both houses. Mm. And so ultimately, you can't sort of do your homework in advance necessarily. You have to look at the bill as it arrives finalised. And that's just, it really is a huge task. Some of these pieces of legislation are immensely complicated. I don't know if anyone has tried to read, you know, pieces of legislation, the Oireachtas who are listening at home, but try it sometime. It's not fun, and it's extremely difficult to parse some of this language. Some of the drafting is incredibly complicated. So if someone said you had to scrutinise 9 bills within a week to look for constitutional problems, I would say it's a task I wouldn't attempt. So I can understand why the president wouldn't want to either.
Well, David, I know that you and Noreen Doyle and a few other colleagues in Trinity College spent a lot of time trying to parse the regulations that have been issued under some of the COVID laws, and that in itself is a job of work, because sometimes they're pretty densely written. So I think if any listeners want to spend the long weekend trying to read some of the primary laws passed by the Oireachtas, good luck to them if that's what they want to do. David Kenny, thank you for your advice this lunchtime. David Kenny, Associate Professor of Law in the School of Law at Trinity College Dublin. As I said, we're also joined on the line by Sean Kine, who is the Fine Gael Whip in Shannadaran and previously the Government Chief Whip. Sean, first of all, your reflections on the intervention by President Higgins in expressing some concern about how the Oireachtas does its job.
Yeah, afternoon, Gavin. Yeah, I think the word by the Cancola was, word used by the Cancola was that this letter was unprecedented. And, you know, I acknowledge the speed, both of the Cancola and the Cathaoirleach of the Shannon, then organising a meeting for last Friday, attended by a joint meeting between the Shannon and the Dáil whips, to discuss the President's letter and the intervention by the President. And that was a well-attended meeting whereby we all agreed that there was an issue, that the letter was serious, that it questioned how the Oireachtas was functioning and the timelines and the timescales and the pressure that was being put on the system, if you like, in the weeks coming up to a recess, both in the summer and Christmas. And, you know, there is the usual push to get legislation through before the end of a sitting. Quite a lot of it, you know, can be time sensitive, and in this case, COVID specific legislation, just as we had Brexit legislation the year before that, or 2 years before that. So, you know, it is important that we take cognizance and act on what the President has said.
Well, whatever about his concerns about how big his workload is and how it comes to him in such fits and starts, and like he says, 9 bills in one day, and when you've got a hard deadline to read and consider them all, that's tough going. But is it appropriate for the President to be expressing concern around how the Houses do their own business and the allocation of debating time and the use of guillotines? Because that, to me, I have to be said, reads a little bit like straying into criticism about how TDs and senators go about their own jobs.
Well, I mean, I have no particular issue with that, and certainly there was no criticism of the president at the meeting that we had last Friday, which I said was well attended by both government and opposition senators and TDs. So there was no criticism, I have to say, of the president's intervention. In an ideal world, you would have a set number of bills appearing every week, and the president would get those. That would allow for greater scrutiny, both pre-ledge, both second stage, committee and report stage, before they reach the president for signature. That would be in an ideal world. But some of these bills, as you've said, and as David Kinney has said, are quite technical bills. Some of them run into numerous sections. In the drafting of those bills, they would have gone through numerous drafting stages. So there would be back and forth between the Office of Parliamentary Counsel, which is the drafters, and the line departments and ministerial interventions, back and forth, in some cases, a huge numbers of times before you get a final bill for publication. So the issue here is the complexity of bills and how long it takes to get them drafted and to ensure that they are correct. It is quite a technical job. You have a limited number of people and resources to get those published. You have, as I said, back and forth between drafters and government departments and ministers before they come to the Houses at all for debate, and then you take into account any of the suggestions that come in from ministers or from deputies and senators, and also any amendments that the minister may wish to bring in at a later stage as well. So it's quite complex.
It is a complex thing, but I suppose then the question is, if you want to stop the president, this or any president, from having to deal with a workload that comes in such fits and starts in future, how do you go about changing it? Because you've sat at the cabinet table as chief whip, you've governed the proceedings of the Dáil as a government whip, you're now the Fine Gael whip in the Shannon, so you've got some role in how it's all organised. Where do you go about starting trying to make it a little bit more orderly?
Well, I mean, there are monthly meetings chaired by the Government Chief Whip with the Attorney General and the team from the Office of Parliamentary Counsel who draft government legislation. These give updates on the progress of bills on the priority list of government. So the list comes from the Programme for Government. So some of those may be you would have ministers wishing to achieve something by the end of the first year or, within 100 days or whatever. Those are priorities that come in. There was a suggestion that there be, I won't say a statutory timescale, but an honoured timescale between publication of a bill, between second stage, between committee stage and report stage. So you couldn't have a situation that unfortunately we've had for the last while, whereby some bills have been taken at all stages in the Dáil and Shannon. Mm. It's not good practice. I think we've accepted it's not good practice, but unfortunately it's happening too often.
All stages, to explain for listeners, is where you don't have a first of all debate on the overall bill and then separately schedule a period where you debate amendments. It's where you're doing the whole lot at once.
The whole lot of one sitting, for example, two hours, three hours, having it all together in that regard, and it's not ideal. It should only happen where there's time sensitive legislation required, but unfortunately, it's happening too often, and it has been the case for some time. And some of that is COVID related because we are only allowed, 2 hour sittings in the chamber before adjourning. So. Some of that has been COVID related, but I think we can't do things better. As I said, in an ideal world, we would have a set number of bills per week and we would have more even workload to allow for better and greater scrutiny of legislation at all stages. The other option, of course, coming up to the annual rush, which might concentrate the minds, is instead of going into recess, we could have taken an extra 2 weeks of Dáil and Shannon sitting time to allow for better scrutiny of those bills and a more even workload towards the end.
I suppose the question is, why does stuff always build up and why is there always a pipeline that needs to be cleaned at the end of the term anyway? That could you not just get the finger out and sit longer hours earlier in the week or earlier in the term and just get more stuff passed ahead of the summer break anyway?
Well, again, it goes back to the actual drafting and publication of the bills. I'm not putting any blame in terms of, because it is a highly complex legal issue. So by the time you get a bill on the priority list, give it the adequate time to get it published, that can take a number of months. And depending on the complexity of the bills, where you could have hundreds of sections or quite difficult constitutional issues or legal issues, which take time and back and forth, that can take, a number of months before that bill is published. So if you have a bill that has started even before Christmas or into January, February, it could be up to April before that bill might be ready to be published, to be debated and go through both houses, such as, for example, the Nursing Home Support.
But if you sit for a few hours longer on a, on a weeknight in April, or if you sit one extra day instead of, you know, maybe missing a Friday, if you sit on a Friday at sometime earlier in the springtime, it's another bill that can be done that isn't piling up for the end of the term.
The problem over the last period of time is that the Dáil, the Seanad and the committees couldn't sit on the same days because of COVID regulations. For example, we couldn't, as senators, we couldn't sit in our chamber. We had to use the Dáil chamber. The Dáil had to sit in the convention centre, and we weren't able to sit at the same time as the committees.
And COVID has definitely made a problem worse for the last 12 months or so. Yeah. But it's always been the case that stuff piles up at the end of term, and the way that you could stop stuff from piling up and not having that urgency would be to put in longer hours earlier in the week or earlier in the term.
No, but you're assuming the bills are sitting in a drawer ready to be debated by the Oireachtas. They're not. They generally come later in the session. For example, if you have a team in the Office of Parliamentary Counsel working on a bill in January, February and March, that could be quite complex. They could have other bills started, but they have to prioritise, for example, an affordable housing bill or nursing home support bill, and by the time that's done and dusted and gotten sorted, they can then devote their time to bills that may have been started or commenced a number of months earlier. So it's not okay. Exactly a smooth running in that regard. As I said, it is highly complex and highly technical work that they're involved in. So I know the Cancola and the Cathaoirleach will be meeting with the Taoiseach, with the Attorney General, with government secretary generals, our departmental secretary generals, to discuss how they can get the system better, how they can fine tune it better. And I think it goes back to the priority list of what bills, yeah, you know, can get done. And in fairness, every government minister wants to get the maximum number of legislation done, yeah, and dusted, whereas the capabilities and the time resources of the Office of Parliamentary Counsel has to be,
yeah,
more taken into account.
I take your point that the bills aren't always just sitting in a drawer waiting to be debated, but if it could be addressed by TDs and senators working longer hours or maybe working a fourth day of the week instead of it usually being a 3-day week, do you think people would be up for it?
Well, I think so. I mean, look, part of the work as well that we have to accept is that you talk about family-friendly Dáil and Seanad and all that goes with that, and particularly for rural deputies and senators, mm-hmm, you know, an extra day in Dublin mitigates against some of their work against some of their work as well, and that has to be taken into account. Sure. It's easier for Dublin-based deputies and senators, but certainly at times of high legislative output, that is always the possibility. But it was somewhat curtailed this year, as I said, because of COVID and the, you know, the cost of the convention centre and all that goes with that as well.
One other story before I let you go, this story that on the front page of the Sunday Independent, that a minister has been accused of leaking from Cabinet, and they've been identified apparently because a junior minister gave them a lie, which they then leaked to a journalist. What do you make of someone who has sat at the Cabinet table, the idea that someone could be so cavalier in sharing stuff that they've heard at the Cabinet table?
Unfortunately, it's not the first time. I won't say it won't be the last, because I'm sure it won't be the last, and it's been going on for too long by too many, I would suggest. Cabinet confidentiality exists so that, you know, proper time and consideration are given to decisions which can impact everyone in Ireland, and it's important that what happens at Cabinet is and remains confidential until such time as there is an official announcement or decision announced, whether it be by the Taoiseach, whether it be by the Minister in question, or you know, issued through the Secretary General of the Department.
But it's not a case of what happens at Cabinet stays at Cabinet, though, because what happens at Cabinet runs all of our lives.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But in terms of the importance of the consideration of issues at Cabinet, that's why Cabinet confidentiality is there until such time as a decision is made and announced, and that's the way it should be. You know, it's just too simple now with what's going on with text messages. Obviously, there's nobody ringing from Cabinet table, because that would be quite obvious, but if there is texting from Cabinet to journalists, that's not right or proper, and, you know, it needs to be stopped. As I said, unfortunately, it's been going on for too long and too often, and it needs to stop.
And given the questions that still hang over Leo Varadkar and his handling of an IMO contract last year, do you think he has the authority to clamp down on other people who are leaking inappropriately?
Again, we're talking about leaking from Cabinet. That investigation
is leaking.
Ongoing.
It's either appropriate or it's not.
Yes, but this is leaking of a Cabinet document. I don't think there's any question of the Taoiseach or the then Taoiseach leaking a Cabinet document. What we're talking about is Cabinet decisions, what's going on at Cabinet, you know, until such time as there's an official announcement of the decision by Cabinet and by the Taoiseach or by the Line Minister.
Sean Kyne, Fine Gael Whip in the Seanad and former Government Chief Whip, thank you very much for joining us this lunchtime.
On the Record with Gavin Riley
on News Talk.